Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I am so excited because I am joined by Dr. Lauren from She Slays the Day, and we are going to chat with you and have a second conversation. So about a year ago was the first time Dr. Lauren and I had officially met and had recorded our episode together. We talked about money. It seems to be a topic that we're drawn to each other for. We love talking about all things wealth building. It's why we're hosting an event, Cairo WealthCon, with Dr. Elise. You should come and join the three of us. You'll hear us give some details inside of this episode, just some of the behind the scenes things that we're working on. And really our goal with not only the event, but this episode is to really expand your mind on what is possible for you and share some of the things that we've learned over the years, because for a lot of us, we weren't handed this blueprint on what to do once you start making money or how to make more money. It's why I'm so passionate about helping chiropractors really start to build a legacy and build a business that's going to help them not only continue to grow and serve more people, but also to build a legacy for themselves, for their families. And Dr. Lauren and I chat all about this. So take a peek at our conversation.
I was thinking about our last conversation, and you surprised me because your last question is apparently a question you ask everybody on your podcast. What does wealth or wealthy?
What's wealthy?
Wealthy, which is different. It's a different question. What does wealthy mean to you? And I was like, oh, fuck. Because I think I'm green. I would say I'm very green in this Cairo awakening. I think you and I, you've definitely worked with enough Cairos now.
Yeah.
I over the last 2 years have, but it wasn't until 3 years ago that like I started to wake up. Now, Kirby has a finance degree, so he would be like, okay, well, don't throw me in that. He's like, I've been thinking about this for a long time. I just started to have some of those same conversations with him using terms like, but that's just a liability and we want more assets. And he's like, yes. Oh my gosh, this is my wife. You are so hot right now. And so it was 2021 and we had already paid off our loans and stuff like that. So we were very like debt to income focused.
Yes.
But it was just starting to think about stuff. And so your question caught me off guard because I think it was all about making money. I think that was my answer. I want money. You know what I was thinking about yesterday? We should play a drinking game where every time one of us says the word wealth or wealthy, the other person has to take a shot.
A drink.
Like, it's too early and we will get smashed. I was like, okay, I'm trying not to say the word wealth 1,000 times in this podcast. But like, what draws you? Because we have Cairo WealthCon. You have the Wealthy Practitioner. What draws you to that word?
Yeah, I think for me, it just is such an all-encompassing word. And even you saying the word, like the word triggers people. And I've always been a person who loves to talk about money. Like I remember even as an associate thinking about money. And so I wasn't an associate for very long for multiple reasons, but I remember being like, how can I increase my capacity, my production in order to make more money? And so I've always been very money driven.
And it was about money. You wanted to make more money.
I wanted to make more money. Yes.
And what was your plan you were going to do with that money?
I didn't have a plan. I just wanted to honestly increase my lifestyle. Okay. I didn't want to have to worry about the grocery bill when I went and wanted to buy organic groceries. It was like, I just want to have enough money. I remember this. Kyle and I talked about this the other day and he was like, I remember us both working in associateships and we are like doing our meal prepping on Sunday and like living within a budget. And I'm not saying that's bad. I think we need to be very mindful of how we spend our money. And so I'm not downplaying that. But I don't want to have to ever really operate out of a budget on groceries or travel or experiences. And for me, we were sitting there and he's like, you know what I want, babe? And I'm like, what? And he's like, my biggest goal in life is to be able to eat out every meal if I want to and not have to worry about what it costs. And I remember a couple of years ago, there was like a week that we were were like so busy. Every night we were out at dinner. We didn't have Jet yet. And I was like, remember that goal that you had? Like, I think we've reached it. And I don't know that it's good for our health that we're eating out this much. But hey, babe, we checked it off. Now, like, our next goal is a private chef. Okay. Because we need healthier food than what we're
eating. Now we need somebody to like be like, all right, we're getting prepared for like swimsuit season. Make the food, make that happen.
Exactly. And so for us, it was like, it used to be only about the money, but I think it's really important for people to understand that are listening to this. It's okay to be driven by money. I think there's a lot of shade around that. But once I had money, I was like, oh, rich or having more money than I need to spend in my bank account is not wealthy.
Right.
And I'm trying to build a wealthy life that's all encompassing. And so I've always just really been drawn to that word. And for me, it's like, how can I help more people understand what wealth is, truly is, and how they can achieve it in their life? Because your version of wealthy is very different than my version, which is very different than everybody else's version.
Right. I think that there's so much stigma around wealth as a word. I have started talking about it more on social, and the posts always do really well. I get tons, like as far as engagement, I get DMs like crazy. But every time I'm like, oh God, my dad is going to send me a message and be like, really, Lauren? Really? Don't you feel like that's showboating? Because he has done that before. He has called me out on one. I think he did it publicly because my dad would in the messages of just like, I don't remember what he said, but it was, I was just like, delete, dad, come on. Where there's shame or it's not shame, there's guilt around it. And I think the reason is because people don't take it far enough because like they think like, I want to make more money. And that's where they feel guilty around wanting to make more money. But a lot of times they don't go further into like, you don't want to make more money. The money is going to do something for you. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some people out there that the money is going to make them feel more powerful or feed an ego. That might, and whether they feel guilt, I don't give a rip about what they do with their life. But as I've really gone down, like through therapy and working with a coach, is like the money represents security, which is very similar to what you're saying of just, for me, like freedom is probably my, I thought freedom was my biggest core value until I started doing this work. And I realized that security actually is, because security, which is the wealth, it's being wealthy, is having the security to move through life as I want, which is almost exactly what Kyle was saying. Of if I want to go to Hawaii for 3 weeks, I can. If I want to eat out, if I want to renovate my basement to do a home gym, if I want to buy that cold plunge, I can. And I don't know that like when you get to that root of, oh, it's security. And then you go to your childhood because all of our money stuff comes from like childhood, whether you grew up rich, poor, in between.
You know, what's fascinating to me that I've started to see for a couple of my clients, and it's just, it's obvious how childhood plays a role. You and I had similar stories and even, hey, we didn't grow up with money. This is how we've grown. This is how we've transpired over the years. This is all the mindset work we've had it done. But I'm getting a handful of clients where their parents were hustlers and they weren't around. So they're having mindset limitations with, I don't really want to work that hard because I know what it costs me. And it's okay, but you're still operating out of this or that. You're not operating out of both. And I believe you can work really hard. I work my ass off. I'm sure you do too. But I'm not clocking in your traditional 40, 60 hours a week to make $1 million. I'm being super intentional in the time slots that I have to make sure they're high revenue producing, high impact, high value. And it's, that's not me sitting in front of a computer for 12 hours. That's not me adjusting for 12 hours. It is strategizing to get to where I want to be. And so I think for, I think there's such a wide variety of all of us in entrepreneurship who operate by a different set of values and also by a different set of beliefs. You have to really look and be like, hey, am I dampening my potential because I think I'm going to have to sacrifice too much to get there as well? And so, yes, I might want more money or more wealth, but to me, it's going to cost me everything to get there. And that's a huge limiting belief as well.
Your consulting came first and then your podcast.
Yes.
See, my podcast came first and then consulting. When you started consulting, did you realize how much need there was for us millennials to fix this shit. And I don't even mean within chiropractic, but yes. But so like chiropractic is super broken, mindset wise, what we learn, what we don't learn. But I don't want to call it chiro. Like, we'll talk about chiro because we are, and we have a conference for chiros, but like multiple other professions have this.
Totally.
So when you entered consulting, did you know at the time, like, this is the shit that needs to get fixed and I am here to fix it?
I just knew there was a lot of broken things out there that I had the potential to fix.
What kind of things did you know were broken before you started? Because I would imagine before you started and what you thought was broken, and now that you're in it and what is broken are slightly different, I would imagine.
Yes, yes. So originally I was like, people just need to do better marketing. They suck at marketing. Why can't they get new patients in their door? It is not hard. Like, post on social media, go have a conversation, just get more people to pay you money. It is easy. Do X, Y, and Z.
And then it goes into, now you need communication. You need more communication issues. That's what we're going to need. Like,
now you need to be a better salesperson. Now you need to communicate the value of your care. And I do think that, of course, people need help with that. Yeah. But so much more than that. And like, the more, instead of being an amateur consultant and being more of a pro now, it's the mindset and the worth and the limiting beliefs and the identity that hold people back. The identity that you are worth $100K a month versus the identity of, hey, I'm just going to stay here at $20K a month is a completely different shift. And it's much harder. I actually think it's easier to go from zero to $20K a month than it is to go from 20 to $100K a month. And so
you think it's harder to go from zero to 20? Than 20 to 100, is that what you said, or easier?
No, it's easier to go from zero to 20. Like, you just put up a shingle, you're like, I'm here, and you get used to having that stability.
Yep.
You get used to being like
the $250,000.
Yeah, yeah. Like clinic. We talked about it, scale up. It's like the traditional clinic does $289,000 a year. So it's easier to get to that point and to stay there because you don't really have to work on yourself to get to that point. Mm-hmm. You just have to put up a shingle. You need a few people to tell each other about you and your offers and your services. But to like really go next level and live up to your potential, there's so much deep work that I think people are scared of doing. So to answer your question, I thought it was all marketing sales. And it's really like, oh, to get people to have the transformation that I want them to, it all has to come down to what their beliefs are.
I thought when you first said it, you were going to say that it was easier to go from 20 to 100 because I feel like, and I'm glad you said it the other way because I don't know if I would have agreed, but we've just been force fed that of like, well, you built it. Now you just need to 10X it, just 10X it. Mm-hmm. And scaling and duplicating are different. Mm-hmm. You do get to this point where duplicating doesn't work because what you've done to get to that 250 is a lot of just doing it and doing it again and doing it again and doing it again.
And you can get lucky. If you open in your hometown and 12 cousins come to you and they just tell one or two coworkers about you, like, you'll be fine. And so I don't know that it takes a lot of strategy or a lot of reflection to get to that point. It doesn't mean it's easy, right? We know anything in entrepreneurship is not easy. Yeah. I just think it's easier to get to those first metrics and those first milestones that we set for ourselves versus like next level. And that's just making the money. We haven't even talked about what to do with the money once you make it, which I think, Lauren, is why people are really attracted to you and I and Elise in general, is because we're like, hey, here's how we made it, but then here's what we're doing with it too. Like, we're all so transparent about that. There is no gatekeeping. We are fully on board with each other and our shared mission to have more wealthy chiropractors. And so it's all of these different stages that I think we've went through, and there's hard at each stage, but it's like just knowing what to do at each stage is key.
There's some quote that I'll butcher because that's what I do and I didn't pull it up. But there's like this thing out there that like up until a certain amount, like at a certain amount, money doesn't buy happiness. Mm-hmm. And it used to be like 77,000. I have a feeling with inflation, it's like more than that. How do you feel about the phrase money doesn't buy happiness?
I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's just whoever made that phrase doesn't have money.
Somebody, I think it was Gary Vee, came back and said, money doesn't buy happiness, but it gives me the means to search for it. It was not Gary Vee. I actually think it was a monk and my husband. So I think it was actually a very more spiritual person. I'm like, no, that was Gary Vee and my husband. No, I told you that from a spiritual book I was reading, but it gives you the means to search for it. So yeah, there's plenty of, we'll use the word rich people out there who are very unhappy. But there's just all of these things that our mind, like society tells us, our mind tells us of just, it's not worth it. No, rich people are assholes. You'll like, oh no, that's not going to bring you happiness either. And it's just, I don't know. I'm pretty happy about the fact that I'm flying in lie down seats to Tokyo with my family.
Yeah. And also I'm pretty happy that I have options in my life. And that's the thing, like you said, there's a lot of people that are unhappy that are rich. That's why I don't resonate with the word rich. Rich is like stupid to me. Yeah. I don't want to be rich.
Rich is chasing ego.
Yeah. And I don't need to have this money sitting in my bank account to feel worthy. But wealthy to me is so much more than that. I don't know anybody who's truly wealthy that is unhappy or unfulfilled. And so the people that are wealthy that I look up to or that I aspire to be have their values in alignment. They're prioritizing the right things in life. And that is not only money.
Right. Do you find it funny how this conference started? Are we going to admit? How this conference started?
How did it start?
It was multiple months ago. I will say I do want to clarify that we have had 7 meetings. We have an amazing speaker lineup. We've got itineraries. We are prepared as shit. But just in case an Enneagram 3 ever asks 2 other Enneagram 3s if they want to just get on a call to chat, that's how it started.
Yeah. I was like, hey guys, are you guys free for Zoom on Tuesday at 9 a.m.? And you guys were like, yeah, sure, Steph. What do you want to talk about?
No, how it turned into that. But I think that we all just see how much all the things are connected. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about money. It's not about real estate. It's not about investing. It is about if you think that thinking about money is a disadvantage to you serving your community, that makes you less of a chiropractor. If you're thinking about pricing, we have a problem. If you think that talking about profitability in your clinic is selfish, we have a problem. And we do have a problem with the burnout rate within chiropractic.
Yes, like, we were just talking about that before we started recording about how many chiros we know or we see on these platforms or in these Facebook groups that are like, I'm burnt out. I'm leaving Chiro. I'm burnt out. I'm leaving Chiro. I'm going to do this other job and all these things. And it's so sad to me because we are sitting on the greatest service ever. And it is so fulfilling. And it's, but it comes when you're not being paid what you're worth or you're not charging what you're worth. And so I do think that I get exposed to a bunch of different groups through a bunch of different avenues. And I live in my little own abundance bubble, I like to call it. So it's, I bring my clients into my abundance bubble. They start living in the abundance bubble. Then I almost forget the actual general pulse of our profession and what their mindset views are. But all I have to do is go to a certain conference or hop into a certain Facebook group. And I'm like, oh no, like we have so much work to do. What do you mean? What do you mean you're going to discount your prices because people aren't paying you? What do you mean you can't make your overhead this month? What do you mean that you have no retirement plan and you're 5 years away from retiring? Like, it's not just our young chiros. It's our old chiros who have been, not old, but in the profession longer, that have not really been given good advice or accurate advice or
they're
even told
like
how to...
breaking their back still 5 days
25 years in. And I think the three of us see the potential there and how we can be part of the change. And also, all of us being Enneagram 3s are like, okay, let's facilitate something that can make that happen. The need is there. So and I think for all three of us to take time out of our super, super busy schedules to put something together like this, like people need to understand how valuable it's going to be. We're going to be talking about, yes, the mindset aspect, because that's huge, but we're also going to be talking about increasing profit in your business. And then we're going to be talking about what to do with that profit. And then, hey, if you're crazy like the three of us and you think that you need to start a new business, we're going to be talking about another income stream as well.
Well, one of the reels that I've done that was really well received where I said most of the richest chiropractors didn't get rich on chiropractic alone. And woo, both sides came out. Both sides came out. And I was like, oop, I touched. And so the thing is I love chiropractic. And if somebody wanted to be a jerk about something you said, they could be like, yeah, but Steph, you only adjust 1 day a week. Lauren, you only adjust 2 days a week if you love it so much. And the thing is, what I love about chiropractic is that I go into flow when I do it. It's something with my hands. If I had to work at a computer all the time, if I just had podcasts and interviews and creating reels and this and that, I would go crazy. I love going to a physical building that like I put my love into a community and said like, this is unique. There's nowhere else in the community that you can get this. I love providing jobs for people. I love having tangible people in real life that I'm working with. And I love adjusting. Mm-hmm. But I don't love adjusting 40 hours a week. I don't even really like adjusting 20 hours a week because it gets in the way if I want to do a 3 week. And so what I would say is like, chiropractic, the clinic, the chiropractic clinic. So chiropractic is amazing. And having the honor to adjust people is cool. I like that. But that doesn't mean I need to do it. That's the only thing. And that makes me less of a chiropractor. And that's one of the like stuck points that chiros get into, I feel like, of that makes me less of a chiropractor if I want to pursue something else. Yeah, mm-hmm. Set up my clinic where it's like, cool, I'm going to pull like a solid 200, 250 from this thing, but I'm only going to do that 15 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go pull an extra 200, 250 from this thing. And then I'm going to go do this. Like that doesn't make you a bad chiropractor. It actually probably keeps you from burning out.
Totally. Totally. And it allows you to dream for more. And I think a lot of people that listen to both of our podcasts do dream for more and they want more. And that's why they're consuming self-development content, right? Mm-hmm. Is because they're like, what else is out there for me? And I think it's really important to surround yourself with other people who are dreaming for more if you find yourself doing that. And it could be more within your clinic. It could be like, I know I have more capacity and potential within my clinic. It could be more outside of that. But like the whole world doesn't operate like that. There's a lot of people okay with staying at baseline or living just above their means or not doing weeks or months at a time traveling. And that's okay. But I think that just knowing that there's more out there, you do have to surround yourself with other people who think the same thing.
Yeah. I think that if someone listening is like, listen, I am very happy with bringing in 150 and this and that, I go, hell yeah. Just what's your retirement plan? That's the only thing that I'm like, you don't need to want to make more money than you're making. But at a certain point, and this is, listen up, Gen Z, love you. But I'm just nervous. Like, what is the plan? And I don't mean the plan when you're old and 40. What's the plan when you're like old and 55 or 65? What's the plan there? And that's where so much of the investing part of what do you do with your profits? What I do with my profits is I freaking invest them because every investment allows me to have more passive income and work harder. I've never really wanting to retire, but I would like my life to, by the time I'm 55, be 10% active income and 90% passive.
Yeah. If I were to ask you, Lauren, do you wish you would have invested in real estate sooner? What would your answer be?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. Like, I'm like, how did I wait till 2020 to buy my first real estate property?
Yes.
Like I had money before then. What was I doing? I was going like extravagant around the world. Like why wasn't I smarter with my money?
In college, like I literally am just thinking back of, oh my gosh, I was making pretty good money. I would have needed my uncle or parents to co-sign, but I could have gotten a house. I could have lived in it. I could have rented it out. That would have made the mortgage. I could have had like, why was I doing what I was doing? But I didn't have people telling me
either.
And that's the thing is neither of us had people suggesting it.
Mm-hmm. And so it was like a lot of trial and error and falling on your face and lighting money on fire. And even us, we're still learning today. I don't think we're the experts on every topic, obviously.
I can't wait to learn from some of the speakers we have.
Totally. We're going to learn just as much from them. That's why we brought them in. But I do think that any person that I've talked to who is trying to build up these things that make them money with minimal input, it's not like no input. They're all like, I wish I would have started sooner. I wish that I would have had a plan sooner. I wish that I would have been clear about, even if it is only $200 a month that I can invest in right now based on like my income or where the business is at, I wish I would have put it somewhere that made the biggest impact for me.
Yeah. Okay. So like, yep, my parents, hardest working, and Kirby's parents. Kirby's dad's a farmer. I don't know of another profession that works so hard and does not make money from it.
Literally, you think chiropractors are bad? Farming, oh my God.
100%.
But now I just think about my children and I don't remember where I learned it. I think it was, like I said, it was the podcast first. First came the podcast. And then I started like talking to people, chiropractors who have massive clinics and massive impact and massive wealth, but then like non-chiropractors. And I'm just like, oh, wow, you're all saying a lot of the same things, which I've never really been exposed to before. And so now even like the way I view like a vacant lot of like, is that a parking ramp?
Is that available?
Could we put a parking ramp there? Because that sounds sexy. Are they really selling that laundromat? What? Like, oh man, the way that your brain shifts to start to look for opportunities is, I think, the big is, all right.
An unlock.
I would argue, I think that is step one of the awakening of like, you're exposed to it and you're like, whoa, what? And then you just start to view your world as different opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. And you're just like, I think business in general does that. I remember like studying different marketing tactics that people do around the holidays, right? Like it starts with that when you start seeing all of these Black Friday sales and you're like, wait, why are they doing that? Like, how are they driving their revenue? What is their sense of urgency or the sense of FOMO? And then you can apply it to your business. I view marketing and sales in other industries and bring it back to chiropractic. I do the same thing with wealth building or gathering some of those assets that'll pay me in the future. I was joking with my friend the other day and we were like, okay, sure. Do we have $1 million sitting in our bank account? No, but we have access to it. And it's like, I remember for the longest time, it was just get my savings up. Because that was the security and the blanket and that sense of just safety that I needed. But it wasn't until I started studying wealth that I was like, most people are like, Elon Musk is severely in debt based on investing in his companies and investing in assets, right? If you buy a rental property, unless you're paying cash for it, you have debt on that. And debt's always been viewed as bad. And so it's like, is debt working for you or against you? Those are two different things. And then I started looking at people and I was like, okay, I don't really know that many people. Once your operating expenses are covered and you have a little bit of a nest egg inside of your business, they're not just stacking money in a regular savings account and waiting for a rainy day. And growing up, that was what you did because you weren't sure that more was coming. And so for me, when I started studying what other people were doing and reading books and podcasts and learning from people who have done it, I was like, oh yeah, I think I've been doing the wrong thing and I need to learn from people who have done it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any like moments or specific people or like what were some of those like biggest aha moments that you had?
For me, it was like once we had our basic needs covered and not basic. They're much better than other people, places in the world, right? We are very fortunate to live in the US and have the opportunities we do and make the kind of money we do. But once that was covered, we were like, okay, once we realized sitting on this money in our savings wasn't the best option and it wasn't going to get us closer to our goals, we were like, how are we going to get there? And we knew that we wanted to be a part of real estate, but it wasn't like we had info on real estate. We didn't have a box that we had to check off. We just started buying properties. And again, I'm like, I wish we would have hired a real estate coach or studied for more people who were well invested in real estate. So a lot of the things that we did in real estate was like trial and error, but it was at least the first stepping stone to learning, okay, I'm going to take this $30,000 and put it towards a down payment. And yes, the income on that house might not be as much because it's a long-term, low-income property, but I get tax advantages. And I also am building up equity and somebody else is paying the mortgage. And originally, when we first started looking at real estate, it was like, okay, we're not getting that excited about $400 extra a month. Like we don't even touch our real estate income because we don't need it, luckily. Right. But it's going to be there when we want to capitalize on more opportunities. And so I don't even really think I answered your question because I don't even remember because I feel like I fell on my face so much that there wasn't somebody really guiding me in that arena.
I do think real estate was like, I don't want to call it a game because I'm sure some people would be offended to that, but how come nobody told us about real estate? I feel like every college class, no matter what your degree, should just be like, okay, but here's why. Like you buy a thing. I'll break this down to a kindergartner right now in case you're like, you buy a thing. So you do have to get the money for the down payment for the thing. And should you be conscious of what your interest price or, you know, your loan is there? Yes, please do. You get someone to pay the mortgage on said thing by renting it from you. You do that for 10 years. Said thing is completely paid off now. And, or maybe it's longer, depending on whatever. And you can then sell it. You can also borrow against it. Like, it's just the duplicity of it of, oh, now we're 50, you know, we bought this thing for $300,000 and we've paid off $80,000 of it. And now all of a sudden, hey, look, you can get a HELOC. Like now you
yes, and take that money back out and do it again.
And you can do it again. And now you have two. And so then you are 55 years old. You started this game when you were 30 and you have seven properties. You have 12 properties, whatever you have that someone else has basically been paying off for you. Mm-hmm. And now you, they've accrued value because real estate does.
The other thing that comes up for me when we're talking about this is even just, so like real estate is one asset, right? It's one option, I should say, in order to take your profits. But I just love our conversation with Elise the other day when we're talking about content for Cairo WealthCon. She's, oh, I'm going to teach them how I was my own bank. Yeah. And how I'm opening these new practices and not even getting money from the bank. And I'm like, nobody knows that they could do that or that's also available to them. And then so when I think of real estate, I'm like, damn, I also wish I would have started investing in whole lives, even like $100, $200 a month when I opened my practice because I could have budgeted for it. Yeah. So there's little, there's bigger plays, there's little plays, there's riskier plays, there's
less
riskier
plays. Well, and I think it depends on how old you are is how big and how risky. If you're going to Cairo WealthCon and you're in your 20s, I envy you. You're going to learn that like you don't have to make a big risky play. You just need to freaking start.
Yes.
Start. Now, if you're in your 50s, there's definitely, you have less time for this like game, but there's still things like, there's still so many things.
Yeah. And I think that just us being able to share those options with other people is like an unlock. When we were talking about it, like we wish we would have just had a conference like this or a mentor who could teach on all these different aspects because it would have shortened our runway to getting to where we are now.
That's exactly what it is we did have conferences. We did have mentors over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
This is like us going, oh shit. Okay. It took us 15 years to start grasping these huge things. And you look back and you just go, oh, they need this.
Yeah.
They need this. Back.
I want it to be only 2 years for them or 3 years for them.
Do you think that there are any, and in my mind, they're going to be the 60-year-olds that are still on stages within chiropractic. So we won't name names, but you can imagine them. Do you think that what do you think their opinion is that we are doing this conference? And I don't say, I don't care, because I'm sure you don't. I do. Okay. Like, I care. What do you think they're saying?
You know me so well already. I'm like,
I don't even care. Okay. If you had to.
I don't know what they feel. And again, like I tell you this all the time. I don't even know that many chiropractors. I only know the chiropractors I work with. I don't know a lot of these people on these other stages. But I think they should be proud of the profession. And one thing that I love too, which it's like not a conference for women. We have men coming to this, but I do love the idea that we were sick of learning from 70-year-old dudes in Cairo.
Yeah.
That we were like, let's just do something for that generation that wants more right now. And it actually doesn't matter how old you are or what you're doing. But I think they should be proud that we're doing this for chiropractic because they've been doing this for other professions for a long time. Mm-hmm. I know so many dentists that own their own buildings.
Yeah, they're doing great.
Yeah, they're crushing it.
Right.
And just other professions in general, I think because they have access to other, like a lot of capital, they're like, what can I do with this? That's just my assumption. I can't say if it's right or wrong.
I can think of people our age that are more this mindset who have been on the stages for a long time that would almost go, oh, it's rude to talk about money. Because it was rude to talk about money. It was rude to like, that is one of the things you teach your children. You don't ask how much somebody makes. You don't ask how much their car was. Like, and so that is a generation. So like I look at that generation, the one ahead of us that is on stage and just talked about pouring your heart into your clinic.
Servant's
into
heart.
Into your patients, right? Yes. And that's all you got was like, if you are Cairo enough, your life will be fulfilling and you will be taken care of. And how many of them burnt out their marriages because they burnt up, didn't see their children. There's many that you'll sit and have drinks with. And on stage, they say one thing. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh man,
it wasn't great.
You're doing it right. I missed my kid's childhood doing this. And it's like, say this stuff on stage too. So we look and go, that doesn't all work. That doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. work. But then I think that there's some aspects that still want to hold on to the like, money's not important. And it's all the Freedom Family low, tiny practice, mm-hmm. which they're trying to like go to a different approach of. And I do think these are a lot of females. Oh, you want to raise your children and practice. And mm-hmm. that's fine. You can work for 10 hours a week out of your home, make $60,000 and be very happy. And it's like, okay, but that's also not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to pick between those two dichotomies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole other world out there. And also, like I think of a client I have right now, and she is preparing for baby two. She wants to have another child. And she came to me and she was like, I'm not going to work more than 15 hours a week. And I was like, great. I love that you have that boundary. It took me a long time to create a boundary around work. So I love that you have it already. But also don't be mistaken that you can't make significant money and profit, even more than revenue, like profit in that, that a lot of clinics that have 12 team members can't produce.
True. So oh my gosh.
Like, there's so we could do a whole other episode just on different types of clinics there are and the pros and cons of all of them. And maybe we should, honestly, so people know what options are out there.
Yeah.
But there is so much potential at our fingertips. And I think COVID really awakened this entrepreneurial side of chiros, where they're like, wait, people need our services more than ever. And it's up to me to make it happen. And so I do think that there's a lot of chiros out there making really good money right now, but they don't have this next like wealth unlock blueprint mm-hmm. that they need.
Yeah. I've had to like metaphorically shake some people over the phone because of how much they talk poorly about their practice. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're a one-man show. You're doing like $350,000 of revenue. Your profit margins are this. Mm-hmm. Girl, I think you're doing good.
I think
good.
You got it.
Yeah. She's but I only see 100 people a week. And I'm like, girl, you're doing good. Like, yeah. You're doing good. Like, you need to give yourself a pat on the back, because it is so often chiros are blinded by the wrong numbers, I think.
Yeah.
They're not chasing profit margins. They're not chasing that type of thing. They're chasing... I'm seeing 500 a week. Am I high volume yet? Charge $5 for adjustment. You'll become high volume in
literally no time. Yeah.
Like,
how's your body feel, by the way?
Yeah. And how's your bank account? And that was a lesson I went through. That was like my ego. That was my rude awakening of just not paying attention to any of that. It was all chasing. Am I a worthy enough chiro? Am I seeing enough people? Is my clinic big enough? Do I have enough associates? Do I have enough clinics? Like, am I a good boy yet? Am I a good
boy? Fascinating.
Yeah. And then I was like, look. And not that I could have made very different things and achieved that with a lot higher profit, but it doesn't matter what our OVA was. Mm-hmm. How many people did we see last week? Mm-hmm. And it still fucks with me. Like, to this day, Curb and I'm 2 years into that process where we are seeing less patients than we were a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And it drives me insane. We have increased our OVA $13. Mm-hmm. And Kirby's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we are fine. Look at the bank account. It's okay. And it was just like...
I was the opposite of that. I was like, what do I need to make to live the lifestyle I want? What is the amount of patients I can see to make that happen? And what do I need to charge? Because I never wanted to be high volume. And so...
How did you get that foundation? And I got a shitty... No, I'm not kidding.
I think, I think it's the projector in me, because I don't want to have to like... kill myself to make something happen. So it goes right to like, how can I reverse engineer this and create the goals that I have and get there quicker with quality input, but less quantity input. And so I remember like meeting people, and I didn't know people were charging $20, $25, $30, $30 for an adjustment. Mm-hmm. I just assumed everybody was at least around 50. And so when I met that, and I was like, oh my God, you're seeing so much people. That's incredible. I didn't know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's so funny how we all have our different journeys and we all have to go through like similar lessons. Like, I still realized that in order to get my freedom, I was going to need team. I was the girl that said I was never going to have associates, because I was like, I can do it. I don't need to see see 500 people a week. So if I'm operating for 150 a week, that was my max. I didn't personally want to see more than 150 a week. And I didn't even know that wasn't a normal thing in chiro. Because like I said, I don't go to these huge chiro conferences, really.
So you have no need to impress.
No.
Other people? I just don't need to impress chiros or...
True chiropractors. No. I'm personally not impressed by those numbers. I'm impressed by the quality of life you have. I'm impressed by how you manage your time, how you manage your family, how you manage your money. I was never impressed by those like vanity metrics.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just was never something that I personally was optimizing for. And once I started having conversations and I was like, holy shit, I see a third of what you see and I make triple to four times what you make.
Yep.
I knew that I had a good business plan. And so that was the thing. I think just innately, I knew what I was optimizing for. And I didn't even really know what, quote, the standard or norm was.
And I think that being exposed to like people with business degrees and like outside of chiropractic probably helps that quite a bit.
Totally. Because that's what I always studied was different businesses. So I like studying chiro.
Yeah. So it's if you're used to having like a business foundation and then you like are exposed to a chiropractor who's I see 750 a week and you're like, oh, cool. What's your overhead? What is it? Like what? I have five associates. Ooh, that sounds expensive. Yep. What is your OVA? What's your cost per acquisition? And they're like, I am 100% cash. And you're like, wow, sounds even more difficult now. And I was just like, you're on stage and I want to be on stage. And you are telling me like all the chiros were like repeating the, this is what's important to us. Ma, like peanuts of being like, I see this many people. I do this. I do that. And I'm like, okay, that's what it will take to impress you. And then later I was like, wait a minute. There's some other questions there. I have questions. And also now that I'm like, married and have kids, I have non-wealth related questions of like, so wait, you're doing a 7 p.m. health talk five nights a week? You ever put your kids to bed? Or yeah, just some of those.
It's so multifaceted. And that's the thing that because you were like, I saw these people on stage and I was emulating what they were telling me was successful. That's why I love that we change the narrative on success looks like.
Because you don't want to see the list of, actually everybody would love to see the list of people that we were like, absolutely not on our stage.
No. Nope. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're not operating. And we have like strict guidelines for that because the three of us have pretty strict guidelines for our life and what we're creating too. And so I do think that all of us know the responsibility that we bear by bringing people into a room. Like I learned it at Scale Up. Who I put on my stage, people are going to listen to and they value that because I'm endorsing them. And so we've also done this with Chiro WealthCon to be like, hey, if you're going to learn from people, learn from abundant-minded people. Learn from people who have actually done the thing that they're teaching you. I'm probably going to get a little shunned for this, but I love learning from chiropractors who haven't practiced in the last 10 years. And I'm like, but things are so different now post-COVID. So yeah, I might only practice one day a week, but I got a pulse. I know what's happening. I know that your patients are canceling more now. I know that it's harder to reinforce your cancellation policy and you feel bad because I see it in my family practice as well. That's one thing for us is we're like, we know people are going to be in the audience and want to emulate and are going to be really receptive. That's why they're there. They're there to learn. And so we've also taken that very seriously because we've been burned by some of the concepts we've been taught.
If you could wave a magic wand, and everybody who comes in October leaves with a thing, like a concept. Is it motivation? Is it direction?
I want them to have direction, but I also want them to know, I want them to have clarity on what like wealth building means to them.
Yes.
And so it's going to be different for every person that comes through there. But I also want them to know that they can go home and leave that and take things they've learned and make drastic changes in the next 90 days to get them closer to that vision.
I love the word clarity. I was hoping to come up with a different word to add on, but like really I was thinking like I want them to have a plan. But well, I want them to know they have options to make their own plan. And so like clarity is like, yes, first of all, you got to get your shit, like you just got to focus. Because so like at my live event for the Multi-Passionate Chiropreneur, I talked about how easy it is for chiropractors and honestly, anybody, stay-at-home dads, stay-at-home moms, teachers, to just be so locked into the micro of week to week. That sounds like a great conference. I'm not there yet. That's a bad busy month for me. We've got that soccer tournament. And so I'll get to that if they do it again. oh, that sounds like an awesome book. I'll get to that. But like right now, I'm just so busy. First, I need to clean my kitchen. First, I need to do that. As soon as I hire an associate, then I'll be prepared to start thinking like that. But until then, and it's like the microcosm of just bullshit. It's important stuff. Our children's birthday parties and like all of that is important stuff. But the micro will distract you for decades.
Because there's always going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I thought of when you mentioned your event? I thought about the panel that you had and how cool it was for your attendees to get to ask us different questions and have us answer them through the different lens of all these successful people. And we decided to add that into Chiral WealthCon also. So if you're listening to this, like you are going to get so much knowledge if you come from a panel of people. We're going to have different keynote speakers. And I just remember attending your event and really loving that aspect. And so I'm excited that we're bringing that into the new thing, not to interrupt you with that.
I think
we should tell them also some of the features. So like our specialty mastermind of the first 2 hours for VIP, like they're going to get me, you.
Yeah, they get entire VIP ticket, gets an entire half day of extra content.
Yes.
So like general admission, we're kicking it off at 1 o'clock on Friday and going all day Saturday. But like VIP starts in the morning on Friday.
Yeah. And they're going to get three of us at their disposal. That's just one of the perks. And we're going to be, we have some amazing things planned. There's going to be homework for VIPs. So we really want to see where
I'm excited about the two VIP lunches too, which we're not going to say who is there because who knows, we could still move things around. But like,
you're going to have special content on those days.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are going to be good. But no, I think if you haven't been exposed, because the quality of a panel depends on the quality of the questions.
Yep.
And I think that our plan around that is solid. But yeah, I think that if you are somebody who doesn't know the questions to ask though, but you just want to be exposed, I don't know, teach me what I don't know. That's a common thing that I'll do. I'll be like, I don't know what to ask. So tell me what I don't know. And that's where the panel really becomes helpful, is because somebody else asked it, like at the live event that I had in April, it was like, all right, one thing would prompt an answer from some person, but then Elise would throw her spin on it. And I'd be like, well, I'm thinking of it through this. And then you can just see not our wheels turning, like you could just see everybody in the audience's wheels just like turning. Mm-hmm. Just, oh, I could apply that to this.
I love in one of our planning meetings when the three of us were chatting about like how much we've personally spent on masterminds to pay people like Alex Wormozy and Jay Abraham, people who are doing like $1 billion of revenue. And we're like, no, you don't understand how much we've actually had to pay to learn the things
that
we've learned.
So much. It gets stupid expensive. It's not stupid expensive. Because what you start to realize is like you go, wait, a 10,000 I was talking to. So I had Ellen Yin on.
Yep.
She's the cubicle. Yep. And she was doing a small mastermind retreat that I was very interested in going. And we got off and I was like, okay, so how much is it? And I could tell that she was almost like apologetic. She was just like, it's not for everyone, but it is $10,000. I was like, oh, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like I was prepared for you to say 25. And she's so nice to be around. And it's like, well, yeah, because when you start going to these things, you understand that the application of a single idea, I feel like such a cheesy salesperson when I'm talking to someone, but like when I'm onboarding for the MPCP and I'm like, oh my God, like you're worried about 8,000, like you're going to get $80,000 over the next 2 years. And if you extrapolate the stuff you could learn from this event, like if you decide one thing, if you make one change that you start doing now, by the time you're 10 years from now, that could be a $1 million seat. So it's like, oh, you're worried about the flight is $500? Like, what? It's hard though when you get to that stage of thinking in abundance and then you're just like,
oh, you just realize people are like transactional in their thinking. And you're like, but that's not actually how you become wealthy. Just so you know, if you're worried about the price for this and that, like you're missing the whole point of the value that's provided. Yeah. And I think that you can just tell people who have done the work and actually invested in themselves think a lot differently than people who are still living in that restrictive mindset.
I love that because I've never thought of it that way, but it's like that thinking is like, what are you, I need to trust that you're going to change my life that's worth 15, let's say the whole trip is going to cost you $2,500 because you did the VIP and flights and hotel. I need to trust that you're going to give me $2,500. Whereas I have invested in myself enough and exposed myself to enough things that I don't have to trust that you're going to give me that much value. I have to trust that I'm going to be inspired to make that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, or that like, I'm going to take action and implement the things that I actually learn.
Yes. And that's the issue is you don't not trust that I'm going to give you that value. You don't trust that you're going to do anything with it.
Yeah, you don't trust yourself.
Some people feel called out right now. I've never thought of it that way because I'm just like an action pivot taker. That's just never a thing.
I know we're going to provide more value in October, which early bird ends July 19th.
Oh, yeah, that's important to say.
It ends soon.
If you're on the fence about general admission versus VIP, VIP will sell out. There's only 100 of them. And we are
well on our way.
We are well on our way. They will be gone. But that's okay. If you don't feel ready for VIP, like that's fine. But
just get in the room. If you're not ready for VIP, just get in the room.
What about people who don't think they're ready for? Would you say there's someone who's not ready for this conference?
I think of it like how chiropractors think of if you have a spine, you should be adjusted. I think if you're a chiropractor, you should be here because it's literally created for chiropractors. We have people DMing us like, hey, can my spouse come that's a medical doctor? Can my spouse come that's a dentist? And it's, yeah, because you're going to learn wealth building tips and it doesn't matter the industry. But we also have a section carved out for actually increasing profit inside of your business. And so this was literally created for you. So I view it the same way. If every person on the planet would benefit from being adjusted, every chiropractor on the planet would benefit from being at this event.
I was hoping to add on that, but I'm like, no, that's a good way to phrase it. Because I could just see it through. But I do think that's a limiting belief when it does come, just a full circle back to the word wealthy, is so many people think they're worried they're going to be embarrassed. That cool. And this is just the lens that I go through of I don't want to think that I was ready to swim with those people or with those sharks or those big fish. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to look at me and see how much I'm not wealthy and how much I don't deserve to be in that room. And when I realized that was fictional, the phrase of the only people who will judge you are people who haven't done it yet. I would never judge someone. I wouldn't judge the student for coming because I would be like, holy shit, I am jealous I didn't. Because I knew, and I'm not just saying that to get people there. I think the only people who would judge you are the people who stayed home and they're like, oh, you think you're wealthy enough to go to a conference called the Cairo Wealth Con? It's like, you don't get it.
You don't get it. But it's like we said earlier, we both wish we would have invested in real estate earlier. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's a thing as too soon for anything, at least to learn the information. You might need to wait a month to implement. You might need to wait 12 months to implement, depending on what you have. But
walk away with that clarity.
You're going to walk away with so much clarity that you're actually going to have a roadmap to what needs to happen next.
You know what bothers me? Is that can we force integration somehow?
Yeah. Be like, here, tell us what you're doing 30 days after the event.
You do not get to leave this conference room. We're going to have each of us buy a door and be like, tell me what you're going to do. Tell me how you're going to integrate this on Monday or in 6 months or 12 months. It's fine. You don't have to integrate Monday, but I need to know you have clarity and a plan. All right. We probably won't lock people in, but
an option if we need
it. It's an option. And if we're talking to you at the water cooler and I'm like, I don't think you're going to integrate, I will put you in a headlock and make sure that you get your damn value out of this conference. All right. Becoming wealthy. To me, it's guacamole. It's going from guacamole rich to Costco rich. I can just... Guacamole rich is that $250,000 a year clinic. I don't have to worry about if the guacamole is $399. Costco rich is... I spent
Not leaving there under $500.
I spent $1,300 two times ago and $1,100 3 weeks later. And then I got in the car and I told Kirby and I was so worried that he was going to be like, what? And he's like, well, it's food, right? We'll
eat Costco.
It.
Costco. Like, you get a pass.
You're
like,
my God. Costco. I think we might be Costco rich. I asked the person checking out, has anybody cried? And they're like, sometimes. All right, beautiful people and she slayers. We will have necessary links for you below. Keep in mind, July 19th is when the price goes up. I think you should move hell or high water to get there.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.